The Green Bay Packers have signed quarterback Matt Blanchard, who won 3 national championships at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. We'll discuss the addition of Blanchard and what it means to the quarterback position. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the addition of Matt Blanchard. We'll talk about that in a second. First, some housekeeping duties. I apologize, as I teased on Wednesday, we were supposed to have Packers linebacker Sam Barrington on the show. He is actually traveling to Green Bay today as they begin their off-season program on Monday, so he's in the process of moving back to Titletown. I am told we are going to try to have him on next Friday at this time, so 1 week from today, just because, you know, the timing really didn't work out. Monday he begins the off-season program, so he's kind of busy then. So we're just pushing it back a week. We hope to have Sam Barrington on next Friday. But let's start with
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Friday, former Packers PR director Lee Remmel passed away on Thursday at 90 years old. He had spent in some capacity more than 60 years with the Packers organization. Leaves a long legacy, said to be a person with a computer-like knowledge of the Green Bay Packers. In his later years, after he served the team in the PR role, he later went on to become a team historian. Lee Remmel, though, 90 years old, passes away. I'm not really one to eulogize. I did not know Lee Remmel personally. I will direct you to many articles on the internet that you can read more about Lee Remmel and people who knew him on a personal basis. I know Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette wrote a nice article. Drew Smith of Fox 11 Sports wrote a nice article. Just some ones I've seen off the top of my head. I'm sure there's more out there, but both Doherty and Smith have been guests on this show before. Be happy to kind of direct you to their work. So may he rest in peace. And on top of that, on Wednesday, former Green Bay Packers offensive lineman Darren College retired from the NFL after 9 years in the league at 33 years old. College, of course, was a member of the team's Super Bowl XLV victory in Dallas. So thank you, Darren College, for all you've given to the Packers organization, and best of luck to you in the future. Since his days with the Packers, he had went on to play with the Arizona Cardinals for a couple years, finished up with Miami last year. Packers actually played the Dolphins in the 2014 season, and Packers fans had a chance to see him up close then as a starting member of their offensive line. But calling it quits after 9 years, there's been, just from what I've read on social media, talks about Darren College actually moving to Italy for a year. He owns a wine label with former Packers teammates Jason Spitz and Tony Mall. They all, I think, came to the Packers as part of the same rookie class way back. Boy, was that 2007? Several years ago. But 2006, maybe. Anyway, happy trails to Darren College as he kind of enters the post-playing phase of his life, and wish him all the best. But for the bulk of this show, I want to talk about the quarterback position in Green Bay. As of Wednesday, the Packers sign quarterback Matt Blanchard, and in fact, just before the show today, reported by Wes Hodkowitz of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Blanchard has signed a one-year deal worth the league minimum. So Packers not, you know, investing long-term into Blanchard, but that also tells you if the Packers happen to release him, they are going to owe him nothing. They are not going to lose any money off the salary cap or anything like that. This is almost a no-risk investment here by the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, that shouldn't come as a surprise, but that's always nice to know that if you do cut him, you know, there's no financial ramifications or anything like that. But just to go a little bit into the history of Matt Blanchard, he was a part of three national championships for the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. Of course, that's a Division III program. And, you know, people, if you're a Packers fan and have ties to the state of Wisconsin, you're probably very familiar with the powerhouse program they've built at Whitewater. He was a starter for just his two final years at Whitewater. So while he was part of three national championships, he really only, you know, contributed heavily to two. Not that he didn't play at all that third year, you know, what would have been his sophomore year. He actually transferred from a Division II program at Northern Michigan and then went down a level to the University of Whitewater. But what he was able to do in his time with the Warhawks was pretty amazing. Blanchard was 25-0 as a starter at Whitewater. He completed over 70% of his passes and had a 44-5 touchdown to interception ratio. So he dominated a lower level of competition. Yes, it's a lower level of competition, but at least when you come from that level, that's what you want to see, is absolute domination. And he pretty much did it as well as you could. Blanchard actually, as a rookie, signed with the Chicago Bears in 2012 and showed enough promise to get signed to their practice squad that season. So, you know, kind of a modest start to his NFL career, but a start nonetheless, especially coming from a guy from a Division III program that you couldn't ask for much more right there. And in 2013, Blanchard started to have a successful training camp campaign before breaking his hand in a preseason game. Blanchard actually stood a chance, I remember, to kind of be the Bears' number three quarterback that season behind Jay Cutler, I believe behind McCown that year, and that didn't happen. It, you know, he breaks his hand, ends up getting released with kind of one of those injury settlements, and then eventually, I mean, it you know, took a few weeks of healing time, but eventually got signed to the practice squad of the Carolina Panthers, I believe, where he finished the 2013 season. So he comes back once again, 2014. You know, he continues to be with the Carolina Panthers, and once again, he's having another successful training camp before he suffers a concussion this time. And he ends up being placed on injured reserve. I think he was released in December this past year, so just a few months ago. He's kind of been on the street since then. So yeah, this was a street free agent signing, not an unrestricted one. That's going to count against, you know, compensatory draft picks or anything like that. So Matt Blanchard was reportedly brought in for a workout earlier this week in Green Bay, and then later signed. You have to assume that he did enough during his workout to impress the Packers brass and sign him to a contract. But yeah, just kind of an interesting story. He kind of looked at one point like he may have a future with the Chicago Bears or may have a future with the Carolina Panthers, and just kind of bad timing on some injuries here. And there's worry that possibly he could be damaged goods to a small extent. I'm not sure how much I would worry about the broken hand. I'm sure that is to, and I believe that's to his non-throwing hand, by the way. But the concussion is a little bit more of a concern. But it's not like these things can't be overcome. And so the Packers sign him on Wednesday, and the timing is no coincidence. With the team's off-season program beginning on Monday, they're getting him in as soon as possible, as soon as players are returning. They've basically been on vacation. Not that, you know, football players haven't been working out on their own, but they have had, they're not allowed to have contact during these past, you know, month, January, February, March, the beginning of April. They're not allowed to have contact with the coaching staff at all, really, unless, as far as coaching goes, you know, if they have to call the organization for some sort of employment question, they can certainly do that. But as far as receiving coaching and things like that, that's kind of off limits at this time period. But so the timing, again, no coincidence. They're getting him in here for day one of the offseason program. And yeah, the first 2 weeks of the offseason program, as you might remember, strictly strength and conditioning. That's all they can do. They can't even pick up a football, I don't think. Or at least the things they can do with a football are very limited. Simply lifting weights, running, things like that, getting into shape the first 2 weeks. But, you know, if you're Matt Blanchard and you are a long shot to begin with, every minute you are in camp or with the team helps, especially if you're spending it with Aaron Rodgers, with Scott Tolzien, guys you can learn from. Obviously great to spend time with Aaron Rodgers and pick his brain, things like that. And, you know, as soon as these 2 weeks of strength and conditioning are over, you know, that's when the learning really begins. Matt Blanchard will be able to go through Mike McCarthy's famous quarterback camp. Of course, renowned for helping Aaron Rodgers develop, but, you know, all the quarterbacks have raved about in terms of helping them become better players, from Scott Tolzien to other quarterbacks the Packers have had, you know, throughout the years. And so he'll receive tutelage from not just Mike McCarthy, but offensive coordinator Tom Clements, quarterbacks coach Alex Van Pelt. So, these will be big helps to Matt Blanchard as he goes through the process of trying to make the Packers roster. What Blanchard has going for him, he has absolutely kind of ideal prototypical size. He's 6'3", 225 pounds. Now, the Packers probably carry typically four quarterbacks during the offseason when rosters are at 90. That's pretty normal. And by no means is he a given to make the team. But you understand why the Packers signed Blanchard here, not just from a timing aspect, but I mean, all of a sudden, if one guy gets injured, either Rodgers or Tolzien, now you're pretty glad you brought him in when you did, as early as you did. So, I asked on before the show on Twitter, took to social media, what you thought the odds of Matt Blanchard making the roster were. I just wanted to get a feeling of what Packer Nation felt the odds of him making the actual the regular season roster, the 53-man roster, you know, from September to December, what you think of him making the team then. Here's some of the responses I got from Craigers McSauer on Twitter. He says 3%. I got a couple people here. Dave Gillette on Twitter and Jim Bassman on Twitter. Both of them say 0%. Let's see. From Samuel Shear on Twitter, he says 10%. Zach Rapport on Twitter says 10% as well. Kay Schwags on Twitter, 15%. Roman Maximus 1 says 0.5%. Max W8 Rock says 1%. So anywhere, obviously, you know, that it's the odds are long. Packer Nation, according to social media, places it anywhere between 0 to 15%. Although a couple people had chimed in what they think the odds of him making the practice squad are, and those are up to 50%. A couple people say up to 50% that he actually makes the practice squad. So perhaps a little bit more of a future there, and I would tend to, you know, in general, agree with those amounts. You know, just kind of interesting off the top of my head here that all of a sudden, Blanchard represents the second player this offseason that the Packers have signed with Wisconsin ties. First, they signed safety Kyle Sabetic. You'll remember that happened a few weeks ago, who played his high school football in Kenosha. Actually played at the University of Dayton in college, but a Wisconsin native. And now Blanchard, who played his college football at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, even though he's an Illinois native. Just kind of interesting that they're signing these guys with Wisconsin ties. I was actually, I did a radio spot on Thursday with Marcus Pfaff of WSCO in Appleton. I believe the frequency is 95.3 FM. And I was asked if the signing of Blanchard, do I think that would prevent the Packers from drafting a quarterback? And my response to the question was, no, absolutely not. I do not think that this signing prevents the Packers from drafting a quarterback. They could not draft a quarterback at all, and that might simply be a product of a poor quarterback class, or it might be more of a reflection of how much confidence they have in Scott Tolzien rather than, you know, anything that has to do with Matt Blanchard. I didn't think it was a silly question at all or anything like that, but I just kind of wanted to dig into that a little bit more. I kind of thought this presented a good chance for a little bit of NFL draft talk, with the draft now less than 2 weeks away. We're getting close, folks. And we've talked about quarterbacks on this podcast before. We actually spent some time talking about the Tier 1 and Tier 2 quarterback. The way they are broken up this year is just so distinct. It's like everybody's on board with, okay, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota are the top two quarterbacks, and like it's not even close. And then there's the second tier of quarterbacks that most people have, Garrett Grayson, who he would be my number three. And then you've got Bryce Petty of Baylor, and Brett Hundley of UCLA. And so they're 3, 4, and 5. And people seem to, you know, differ on what the order is between those guys. But most people have those as the 3, 4, and 5 quarterbacks, kind of that second tier. And then there's kind of a pretty steep drop off. And we're getting to quarterbacks that the third tier, of guys who may or may not even be of draftable quality. I think several will be drafted, and we're talking the later rounds here. But I thought this provided a good opportunity because I think if the Packers do grab a quarterback, I think, you know, who knows? They could grab one of the Garrett Grayson, Brett Hundley, Bryce Petty in the middle rounds. Maybe they do. I think the odds are long that that happens, but I can't rule it out. But I think the more likely scenario, if the Packers draft a quarterback, it's going to be in the late rounds, sixth round, seventh round. And what I wanted to do was kind of talk about some of these guys here. I thought it provided a good opportunity and wanted to share my thoughts because I think if I had to rank the quarterbacks after the top five, I have got a very interesting one that I don't think many people, other people are high on. The number six quarterback in this year's draft class, according to me, Brian Kirivu, I guess you could say I have a man crush on him because I am unusually high on this quarterback, and I may have mentioned him before, but it's Jake Waters of Kansas State. And, you know, the reason people do not like Jake Waters here, and we're getting into some pretty deep NFL draft talk here, is that he's short. But if I'm correct, went and looked at his statistics from his pro day at Kansas State, and he measured in at 6'0" and 7/8 inch. And I think people just see the 6'0" and think, okay, short quarterback, without seeing that he was 1/8 inch away of being 6'1", which is pretty normal. Now, Aaron Rodgers comes in at 6'1", and Jake Waters is fractions of an inch away from that. And I think we've seen by now that quarterbacks in the NFL, between Drew Brees, between Russell Wilson, guys who don't even measure in 6 foot that can still be successful. Come on, it's time to get over the lack of height of being a knocking point, I guess, especially when they show other traits. And I think there's so many things to like about Jake Waters. I think, especially for his size, I think he's got a great arm strength. Maybe it's not as strong as some, especially those who are bigger and stronger than him, but I think it's certainly, you know, more than adequate to make it in the NFL. But in fact, I just wanted to share this, found this the other day at profootballfocus.com. And if you haven't heard, they are really starting to expand their focus there to include college football. And they're just kind of starting, and they kind of began with this year's draft class and things like that. And in an article at Pro Football Focus, they kind of shared some statistics from the 2014 season, this past season. Jake Waters was the number one quarterback on accuracy on deep throws in the entire nation. Well, I should say among this year's draft class, which includes, you know, 40 some quarterback, you know, all the guys who are seniors or declared for the draft already. Number one on the accuracy on deep throws. So he's got a strong enough arm to get it deep. He's got enough touch to deliver a nice ball. Just the accuracy is all there. I love those things about him. And yeah, he was helped out by a very good wide receiver named Tyler Lockett. And that helps, but I think there's a lot Jake Waters himself did. And on top of that, he's very athletic. Kind of ran a zone read type there that you know puts him at a little bit of a disadvantage in terms of maybe didn't run a true pro style offense there. But there's a lot of things he did from a pocket standpoint that I think will translate. And really, I really, really like Jake Waters. I'd love to see the Packers grab him in a late round. For some reason, I don't know why other people don't like him. I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. Why people have him ranked so low, why people don't like him. And maybe to a lesser extent, I wouldn't put him as my number seven quarterback. I think there's another quarterback who's really similar to Jake Waters in this year's draft class, and that's Grant Hedrick of Boise State. And he is shorter. I mean, he does check in under 6 foot. And that's not to say you can't make it under 6 foot, but I mean, you know, he's still like more than an inch shorter yet. But he's athletic. I think he has a good arm for his size. I think he's definitely more of a undrafted free agent, priority free agent, however you want to describe it. But I kind of like him too, especially for being a shorter quarterback. You know, if I were to rank some guys after that, after Jake Waters, you know, my 7, 8, 9 guys you're looking at the 7th round of the NFL draft, who should the Packers like? And I do think it's interesting, I'm not sure if I'd have him as my number 7 guy or not, but Shane Carden of East Carolina. Just simply, you know, when I watched East Carolina this past season, I like Shane Carden in terms of his accuracy, his touch on the football, but he definitely didn't have an NFL arm, and I thought he benefited from a group of wide receivers, two of which are probably going to play in the NFL, Justin Hardy and Cam Worthy. Both of them invited to the NFL Combine, and I thought, you know, maybe he was more a product of some good wide receivers. But just interesting here, just this week, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel published an article. I think it was Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel who interviewed Carden and said his velocity on his passes, it has been growing since you know he ended college. I don't know what he's been working on, whether it's been arm strength, you know, just lifting a lot of weights, whatever. But if Shane Carden did have a stronger arm, I would be much higher on him because like I said, there's a lot of things to like about him that I just didn't see in college. And there's kind of two other guys that are in the same mold, guys who have the nice accuracy, have the nice touch on the football, but didn't have the elite arm strength. And those guys were Hudson Mason of the University of Georgia and Taylor Heinicke of Old Dominion. And I kind of put them in the same category. Like I think they have the NFL intangibles, and I think they, you know, they have the accuracy, but the arm strength isn't there with them. I like Hudson Mason a little bit more because he's a little bit bigger. Measures in over 6'1". He did well at the East-West Shrine game. He had a 21-4 touchdown to interception ratio that I really liked during his senior season at Georgia. Ran a pro-style offense at Georgia. Kind of like Hudson Mason. Like Taylor Heinicke a little bit less because he's a little bit smaller. Doesn't show that big arm, but was very productive during his time at Old Dominion, including making the transition from the FCS level of football up to Division I. I think that only helped him seeing a higher level of football. But beyond that, Sean Mannion of Oregon State, four-year starter there at Oregon State. Comes from, he's a product of Mike Riley, who, you know, left the University of Oregon State this past year to join at Nebraska, but he's kind of a noted quarterback guru, so Mannion learned under him. And what I don't like about Mannion, I think he's got a nice strong arm. So, you know, all these guys we've been talking about, or these past three here, Carden, Mason, Heinicke, these guys kind of lack the NFL arm. I think Mannion's got it, but he kind of has a lack of athleticism. And once he gets out of the pocket, things break down. He kind of saw a big time drop in production this past year as a senior in 2014, because in 2013, he had New Orleans Saints wide receiver Brandon Cooks on his team. And Cooks graduates, goes to the NFL. I think that kind of hurt Mannion quite a bit. you kind of saw maybe he's a little bit of a product of that. But I do think he has the arm, just doesn't have the athleticism, and that kind of hurts him. Other guys, I'm going through some guys here and what makes him interesting. Cody Fajardo of the University of Nevada. What you like about him is that he operated primarily out of the pistol offense at Nevada, and that's something the Packers have been using more and more. By no means has that become a big thing for the Green Bay Packers operating out of the pistol, but I do think, you know, you saw Aaron Rodgers, especially post-injury, calf injury there, that he they ran the pistol more and more to get him close, still in the shotgun, but closer to the center, and could put the running back behind him, things like that. And there's been a lot of comparisons between Fajardo and Colin Kaepernick. You know, that's who he took over for at Nevada. And both that a lot of them have, you know, they a lot of similar qualities between them. Both very, very athletic, had a lot of passing yards and rushing yards. So there's a lot of athleticism there. And Fajardo will definitely be a project, but I think there's athleticism to work with. And you know, you don't want to see him play in the NFL right away, but he could be a good development. There's Connor Halliday of Washington State. The one thing that makes him interesting is that he's a product of the Mike Leach spread offense out there at Wazoo. And the Packers have not shied away from that in the past. As you saw, they were signed Graham Harrell. Now, Graham Harrell didn't exactly have a stellar career with the Green Bay Packers, but you know, they were willing to work with him for, you know, 3 years or whatever Harrell was with the Packers in Green Bay, and at least became a backup, and maybe that's something Halliday can do too. There's Anthony Boone of Duke. We talked to a little over a week ago. Jordan Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers' brother, who's been mentoring Anthony Boone, and that was kind of interesting. The thing that Boone lacks is kind of some accuracy. I think it was below 60% for most of his time in college. But he was a product of David Cutcliffe, who, of course, mentored Peyton Manning in college. And Manning really attributes a lot of his success to David Cutcliffe, so that's interesting. Some guys I'm not really sure about. I'll tell you this, that Chris Bonner of Colorado State Pueblo, a lot of people high on him. I'll just plead the fifth. Of course, you know, Colorado State Pueblo games are, as a lower division football, have not been on TV. I have seen nothing of Chris Bonner. So I just kind of plead the fifth. I know he's a big guy. He's like 6'5 plus. And sometimes I think the Packers do not like these big immobile guys, and I'll throw Brandon Bridge in there. I don't know how immobile Brandon Bridge is, but you know, he's another tall guy. He's like 6'5", from South Alabama, has an absolute cannon for an arm. So arm strength is not an issue at all, but it's more like that's the only thing he's got going for him, is the big cannon, and the mechanics just aren't quite there. And I think he would be a big time project to fit in what the Packers do. You know, those are some guys in this year's quarterback class, just that third tier of players, and who I like and who I don't. And or, you know, there's things to like about all of them and things to dislike about all of them as well. But I do think there's a decent chance that the Packers grab a quarterback late or undrafted free agency. And this is, you know, the group of guys we're looking at here who they may be picking from. So kind of a little bit of a roundup there. But if we were to move on here.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, this Friday, April 17th, the tailgate tour continues. It's been making its way around the state of Wisconsin, starting with stops in Menominee, in Prairie du Chien, in Baraboo yesterday, and now there are only two stops left on Friday night in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, and then Saturday in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. So if you happen to be in those areas, it's a really cool thing to see, if you know, especially those people who are not season ticket holders of the Packers, and you want an opportunity to be near the team, see them up close, you know, opportunity to question and answer sessions, get autographs, get pictures, things like that. This is the place to do it. I think it's a cool thing the Packers do. So if you're in the area, and I'm not sure if tickets have sold out or not, you're going to want to go to the Packers official website and find out. But I know if you do enough searching, enough looking around on their website, you'll find exactly where you can get tickets or how to get tickets, things like that. So that's what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers. So things start heating up on Monday. The off-season program begins. Players, like I said, starting to report to Green Bay already, and in preparation of the off-season program starting next week. Begins in earnest, just strength and conditioning, but at least it's beginning. We're getting closer to football, folks. And like I said, hoping to talk to Sam Barrington next Friday on the show. I'll say this as well. No episode of Railbird Central on Monday. It's my very first day of work at 247sports.com. I know I've mentioned that before. You can understand my first day of work. I just want to be able to do things right, and I don't want to have to worry about an episode that day. So we're going to take Monday off. It's my hope, actually, to be back on air next Wednesday, starting Railbird Central over again, including at 247sports.com, and continuing here at Cheesehead TV as well. Just kind of a greater kind of getting out the word to more people, just greater distribution, more places for people to see it and check it out. So excited about that coming next week, but no episode on Monday. So we'll see you next Wednesday, folks. Typically, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV, and soon to be at 247sports.com. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good weekend. And we'll talk to you next week. I leave you today with a song called Eudaimon by the Steve Kimmick Band on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.